My name is Vern Reakey, and I am the village philosopher, as they say, which means that I help arrange forums such as this one. Personally, I am amazed at how much I have learned about the hearing impaired in the half week that we have been together in the village. I very much appreciated Pastor Ludwig's sermon tonight. In fact, the entire service. It's a unique opportunity for those of us who do not have frequent occasion to visit with the hearing impaired to be able to have an encounter of a deaf kind in order that we might understand something about the language which is used by the hearing impaired people, and so that we might learn something about the culture in which they live. Last night in the forum, we talked about the difficulty of trying to include in our daily life people who are different in some ways. We talked last night about the gender problems, being inclusive of men and women, and also racial problems. It's clear, I think, that being impaired in one's hearing is as much of a problem of inclusiveness as any other sort of difference that exists between people. So this is a very fine opportunity for us to enter into some sort of a dialogue with each other in order to understand these conditions better. What we're going to do tonight is that Carol Storch is going to introduce our forum for us, and then we are going to have comment from some of the people who are impaired in their hearing, and then we're going to have a dialogue. Those of us who hear and those of us who do not are going to dialogue with each other. Carol?
Okay, thank you. I would like to just say a thank you to the people who are here, both hearing people who are here who want to learn a bit more about deafness and the people that are here that are hearing impaired in our village, but also to the hearing impaired people who are here who are willing to open up and share about their lives and share about some of their frustrations, some of their difficulties, and some of the things that they've encountered in their life. I'm going to keep my words brief so they've got time to talk, and I've asked them to keep maybe their introductory comments brief to a minute or two, just so that you get a chance to get a little background on each of the persons that choose to share, and then when they respond to any of the answers, you've got a little better idea maybe about where they're coming from as they respond to your question. I don't think we'll go in any order because I don't know if everyone's going to speak or who wants to or what or who wants to start, so I think I'll just open it up and maybe ask for a volunteer and we'll just let it roll from there and see what happens. So do I have a volunteer? It's always hard being the first one. I'm a school teacher. You know how hard it is to call on kids with, you know, without having them volunteer. So.
You want Ann to go first?
Okay.
We're going to talk about ourselves.
Okay, you
Mary's
want to talk
talking.
Mary's talking.
Mary's talking. Oh, Mary. Oh, okay. I can see you back. I'm sorry.
Myself, I was born deaf. I grew up in a deaf school, state school for the deaf. I'm very fortunate that I can talk. So I used my hearing as I grew up. The little hearing that I had to learn. I learned a lot through my parents who wanted me to talk. And myself, I have a hard time understanding people. Even to this day, I have a hard time. I had to really be face to face one-on-one person. I can't really voice with a group because I don't know how to control my voice, and I prefer to be one-on-one. So that's part of who I am.
Yeah, that was brief.
Don?
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah,
me. See, I wasn't going to do that, was I? I wasn't going to do that.
I was born deaf. I don't know, parents didn't know what deafness was. I asked my mother to explain to me what was, how did I become deaf? And my uncle had children and they were playing around, and my uncle happened to, there was a pan that fell down and there was a real loud noise in the kitchen, and the children just looked at me. And I was the only one that didn't look. And so then, again, we were out playing, and my uncle tested to see if I was hearing, and dropped another pan. And all the children looked, but I didn't look. And then they checked, and the doctor found out that I was deaf. They don't know why, they know I was born deaf. I went to oral schools and moved around, and I couldn't understand a thing. I was really deaf, and it wasn't important to me when I was 12. I went to the state school for the deaf and I learned a lot of language. I learned ASL. And there were so many activities there. And, it gave me an opportunity to meet people and to enjoy things, and to have communication was a lot easier. Okay. All of you over here? All right, okay. Well, I was not born deaf, but at the age of 1 month, well, I lost my hearing through pneumonia and measles. A long time ago, they sent me to a Lutheran school for the deaf in Detroit, Michigan. And then I spent my high school years at the Colorado School for the Deaf. After that, I went to Gallaudet College. And on graduation from that college, I went to seminary in Springfield, Illinois. When I was doing my practicum in preaching and homiletics, I met a beautiful girl in Illinois named Ingrid, and we quickly got married, and I married her. And Springfield
doesn't encourage
marriage by students. But I was single, but I was rebellious, and I married her anyway. And I came back to Springfield, and after I graduated, I became a pastor to the deaf in the center of Ohio. I stayed there for 12 years. When I got a call from Western Washington, they needed someone in Seattle, and so I moved there. In Seattle, I preached, and since then, I've been there 17 years, and God has really blessed us with 3 kids, and they're all grown up now. First a son, who's now 28. He's going to be married next month. Then a married daughter, who's 27. And her husband's going to be a medical doctor soon. And a third daughter is also married. And she's the first to give us a real cute little granddaughter. Is that right? That's right. Well, I grew up, was raised in Estonia. I became deaf at 5 years of age from scarlet fever. I was 6 years old. I was sent to Estonia to go to school until I graduated. When I was 12 years old, the Russians came into our country. And after the occupation there, the Germans came in and occupied our country. And the Germans stayed there for 2 years. And then in 1944, the Russians came in and occupied our country again. My father was an officer, a major in the army, and he was killed. And my brother fled to Germany. And we went and lived in Poland for a short time. And we heard the Soviets were coming to Poland. And we fled to Germany. And we stayed there for 4 years. And we lived in northern, near the Finnish border, like Flensburg.
He says Flensburg.
And they kept us. And then we went to England, and then we, where were we going to live? Canada, Australia, or United States. And the New York, a sponsor, picked our names out, and we arrived in America through New York. And we went to classes, went to oral school, learned speech. I got a job as a seamstress. I learned that skill in Germany when I was there for 4 years. And I was there, and then I moved to Springfield because I wanted to be out in the country. Because it was so similar in climate, and he liked it there. And we were there for about 7 years, and then I met him. And now I have him. God has led me with him, and we've had a very good life.
Ann told me that I could give her a life story tonight, and then she would take the bows. Anyway, I'm going to summarize it because she wrote it out for me. She told me tonight about it, so I'm just going to summarize it down a little bit because the time's short. Anyway, she was not born deaf. She became deaf at the age of 7 with scarlet fever. And before that, she started school when she was 5, hearing school. But there was a neighbor boy who was playing around, was really bad. And so the teacher told the neighbor boy he couldn't come to school anymore. He had to wait till he was older. And so this boy's mother said, well, this girl, she can't go to school either because she's younger than the neighbor boy, 1 month younger. So she had to go home. Well, she took her books with her, her reading book and her math book and her slate and her pencil, took it with her. And her brother, who was 9, taught her at home. And then when she was 7 years old, she went back to school. And she skipped kindergarten, first grade, and went into second grade. And when she had been in school for 2 months, she had scarlet fever. So she was out of school again. And she became deaf. And then she went back to school, and she learned by reading and writing every day. And she stayed in school from second grade through fifth grade. But the fifth grade teacher had 40 children and said, you can't be in my class. I have no time for you. So she went home and she worked different jobs, cleaning houses, ironing, until she was 15. And then she got a job at Fort Riley in Kansas, working in the laundry. And this man came to count, to take census of all the people living in Kansas. And he asked her mother, why isn't your daughter in school? And her mother said, well, my daughter is deaf. And the man said, that doesn't matter. There's a school for the deaf in Olathe. You can send her there. And he gave her a book and a pamphlet with some information. But her mother and father did not want to send her there because they thought the deaf sign that looked like monkeys. But she came home and she saw the pamphlet about the deaf school and she read it. And she wanted to go, and her aunt supported her decision to go. And her mother said, if you go to deaf school, we will do not want you to come home anymore. Well, she decided to go to deaf school anyway. So she went with her aunt to Olathe and enrolled in the deaf school there. And she wrote home every day to her mother and father. And finally, by Christmas, they decided she could come home. Well, when she entered school, she was had read so much. She had read all the encyclopedias, dictionaries, the books of knowledge. And when she entered school, she skipped 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in the first year and went up to 9th. And she graduated in 3 years from the Kansas School for the Deaf, and she got a full scholarship to go to college, but she couldn't go because her stepfather had to have money for his shoe repair shop, and it was the time of the Depression. And so she had to give him her money. And then she got married and worked on a farm in the Midwest, and that's why she did not go to college. But she has some very good writings, and her language is very excellent. And she wrote a poem. Can I read your poem tonight? Should I read it?
Sure. That's okay with
you. Is it okay if I read your thing?
I don't know if it's her poem.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. Okay. She wrote this and gave it to me tonight so that I could have it. It says, in the Bible, we are told.
No, I didn't make that.
You didn't make that? Okay. She memorized. You memorized this when you were little? Okay, but I think it's good. Okay. It was called that old Nineveh might repent. But instead of that, to Tarshish, he set sail. On the winds began to blow. On overboard did Jonah go. And he found a mercy seat inside a whale. In that cold and briny deep, tears of grief did Jonah weep. And that big fish threw him out upon the shore. Then he gladly went his way, preached to Nineveh night and day, and he did not care to backslide anymore. Oh, some people don't believe that a whale could him receive, but that does not make my tale at all untrue. There are whales on every side, with their big mouths open wide. Just take care, my friend, or one will swallow you.
Yeah,
you have something about my dear boy.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
You
have to stand up and take the bow.
Yeah. Tell how many children she raised.
I don't know. How many children do you have?
Seven
children.
35 grand.
35 grandchildren.
64 great grandchildren.
64 great grandchildren. She's 83 years old. And 3 great great grandchildren. And she has 5 acres and horses that she takes care of herself.
She told me the other day too that she's received several awards for her poetry. You know, she has one now that they want her to go to California to accept it on TV, and she won't go. And I've been trying to encourage her to go to let the hearing world know that the deaf can be as much as they can.
What did she say for the awards?
She said the Golden Award.
It's a Golden Award for poetry.
What about you? I lost my hearing when I was 2.5 years old by falling from a little wagon. I finished school with the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit, Michigan, like William Ludwig, Pastor Ludwig, in 1937. Then went to the Kansas School for the Deaf, like an affiliate, like these two. Mm-hmm. And I graduated there in 1942. After that, I stayed with my parents for a while. Then I worked at Colorado School for the Deaf and Blind and served
me.
You're just a little tight.
He took care of him.
What am I going to say?
Not on my You just made it slip from my mind. The Colorado School. I'm the Colorado School for the Deaf and Blind. I worked there for about 4 months. And I was a waitress for 3 blind girls. And after 4 months, I moved to California. Colorado School for the Deaf tried to get me back there in the fall, and I said, no, I've fallen in love in California, and I want to live with my sister and my girlfriend. In about 3 years, I married him. And we moved to Northern California.
Oregon.
And then finally in Everett, Washington. It's really hard for me to get a job in Everett, Washington, so I decided to start a family, and I was enthusiastic about having a large-sized family. And I have 6 children, 4 boys, 2 girls. All of them, their names start with the letter D. Even my 2 daughters-in-law, their names begin with D, too. And I have 8 grandchildren, 5 girls, 3 boys, and we had one born just recently. And, what about your life? Oh, no, you're stuck. I was born in Ontario, Canada. I found out I was deaf by scarlet fever at 3 months of age. My father and mother both worked in some kind of mill. And my father got asthma and so many problems, and so we moved to California, Southern LA area. We were down there in LA. When I was 5, I was put in an oral school, and I learned nothing. It was just like moving my mouth, couldn't learn a thing. My mom looked at it, and my mom was working in. So where's the school for the deaf? And they knew that they had a deaf school, and I learned a lot, and I learned a lot of signs, and I learned fast, and I grew up there, and so I liked sign language, and I went to the deaf school. I didn't graduate the time the war started in 19, and I worked on the defense plant during the war, and worked for the city, and when that was over, I met her, I chased her. Anyway, I chased her from the top end. At that time, I had almost decided to become a spinster. And he's a wonderful father for our children too, and a grandfather.
My situation's a little different. I was born in Chelsea, Massachusetts. I lost my hearing when I was 7.5 years old. I lost all of the hearing in one ear and 50% in the other ear. So they sent me to first an oral school, and I couldn't keep up. Went there for 4 years. And then I went to Massachusetts School for the Deaf, which at that time had changed to total communication. So I was fortunate to have a lot of speech reading and sign together. Then I moved to Southern Illinois University because I wanted to be a teacher. And I went to Southern Illinois University, and there was only one other deaf student at the university. And I found out very rapidly that there were no interpreters in the southern part of Illinois, south of Springfield. And so I started taking music lessons because people said that hearing impaired people could not learn to sing or use music. So I've been using a machine that shows me vibrations, and I match pitches and rhythms, which has improved my speech and kept it normal. And I've still done that for 8 years. we still have a problem with interpreters in the South, so I, we only have 3 interpreters in our church and 2 certified interpreters in the whole area. But I enjoy being with the Deaf Club when I'm here, and that's mainly where I get to use my sign, because there, otherwise there are only 7 of us in DeSoto where I live, which is a small town. So I have a 20-year-old son. 3.5 years ago, he went to drug treatment. 2 years ago, he moved away from home, which was very frightening for me, because then I was alone and can't use the phone and couldn't hear people coming to my door. So I adjusted my life, and my pastor sent me to Hope and Village last year, and I during hearing therapy, and I really loved it here. Came back this year, and I'm really fortunate now that I 8 months ago I got a hearing ear dog, and so 4 more months she's all mine, and I just love her, and she really helps me to be able to continue to function normally and hearing well, which a lot of deaf people don't have the opportunity to do.
Thank you, Pastor Bakersfield.
Okay. I only have 30% hearing now in 1 year. I lost another 20% 4 years ago. And they said it could continue to go down, but right now it's pretty stable. So I just use what residual hearing I have to help me hear vowels, which helps me make the pitches correct.
Around 3, actually. I went to the doctor. I had problems with my throat.
Tonsils,
sorry. And I also had bad ear infection. And the doctor said my temperature was 99.
He was 99.
He was 99 years old. Oh, okay, thank you. Doctor yelled out, took my tonsils out, and my tonsils, and then I went home, took them out in the doctor's office, okay, and then when I arrived home, I had that trouble with my ears, and they started to drain like wax, and my father started to worry, and my mother and father didn't know what to do, so they went back to the doctor again. Not knowing what to do, and he gave me some medicine. And from then, it happened, and they were talking. My father tried to talk, my mother, but I couldn't hear. Wanted me to pay attention to my father. And sent me out, took me outside. And sat, we were riding in the car, and my mother to Minneapolis. I sat next to my mother, and my father parked the car. And then
he beeped the horn.
He beeped the horn. And I just looked around and didn't even notice it. Totally ignored him. And they decided that I really couldn't hear anything. And my father was really depressed. And after that, I went to Kansas City, Missouri, which is a huge city, and saw another specialist who examined and found out, yes, I was deaf. And the doctor told my parents to send me to the school for the deaf. And that's all my life. I grew up deaf in deaf school. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Wait, there's some more. I want to add something about
2 years ago, they had a Lutheran picnic for the deaf in Seattle. And I met her, and she was talking about Kansas City. And I said, what's your name? Seniors in high school, and I looked, and there I saw a picture of her as a little girl. That little time, I was a senior, and she was little. She was about seven.
What year?
Senior, seven. I graduated in 1942, you came in the fall of 1941. You entered in the fall of 1941. I want to see those pictures that I looked at. There were so many.
Bring
them
to church next Sunday. Bring them to church next Sunday.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was 9 months old at a cough. I didn't become deaf until later. I was 2.5 years old. And then I was deaf, and then the doctor told me, he says, we're deaf, we're sorry. My parents cried and they were heartbroken. My father understood, and when I was 5, they checked out my hearing. I could talk fairly well, and I had for a hearing aid when I was 21.
Not bad.
Okay, Charlotte. I was a fish talking.
I want to add something to my story.
That's good.
You know, my mother explained. Mother said she prayed, was ready to sue the doctor in this small town where we lived. Because at that time, in Kansas City, the doctor explained that I had a bad infection and I did not need my tonsils taken out. First, I should have had my ears made well, and then I should have had my tonsils taken out after my ears were better, but it was too late. So my mother was ready to sue, but decided it was a waste of time and just forgot it.
Okay, I think I'd like, if Elsie wants to share, we've got one more, and then I would like to open it up for question and answer. So, Elsie, would you like
to? Would you like
to say?
What do you want me to say? Oh.
How I became deaf was when I was about 1.5 to 2 years old. I fell down and I bumped my chin and really hit my head fairly far backward. And the nerve in my neck that connects to the ears died and it caused me to become deaf. Was it really because someone told me that my father had no patience with me when I was small? I used to cry all the time, and it caused him to really beat me and beat my face, and it became black and blue. And after I became deaf,
she doesn't know if her genesis were falling out of the wagon or from being beaten.
I grew up went in the deaf school at Salem when I was 6 years old. And I spent most of my school years in Salem before moving to Idaho and going to the deaf school there. I didn't go back to school. Couldn't stand all the hours in oral school without writing on the board. My eyes became really blank and I got really fed up with the oral school, so I didn't go back. And then I went out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think now might be a good time then to either open it up to questions or comments to the people who are joined us.
Joe?
Yes.
People around here are asking, what's an oral school?
Who would like to answer that?
An oral school is where you go to school and they don't allow you to use sign language. You just use lip reading and voice.
Elsie?
In Idaho, the state school for the deaf, they use both speech training and signing, but in the classes they require you to speech read and not to sign. And other teachers did well at speech reading and writing, but my homeroom teacher required speech all the hours of the day, and I couldn't stand to watch her eyes because there was just a blank to me. And you know, she said, look at me, and I just couldn't. I stared. Just hours on end. She didn't write anything on the board. And we couldn't stand that teacher. And so, but now it's changed at the Idaho School for the Deaf. There's a blend there of speech and signing. It's much better now.
As I've been listening, it seems as though scarlet fever is, at least among this group, a fairly common cause of deafness. I had scarlet fever when I was younger, too. I did not suffer any hearing problems. How common is it, and have procedures been found now so that when young people have scarlet fever, there's less likely to be damage to ears?
Okay, the reason for these people being deaf because of scarlet fever is because at the time there was not the antibiotics that there are now. And I don't know if you know, but scarlet fever comes from strep throat, the beta strep. And many people get it and don't know they have it. And then they would get scarlet fever, and maybe the parents thought they just had a fever and did not know that until they became so sick that it caused damage to their hearing or to their heart or some other difficulty. But now because of the antibiotics, then many children that get scarlet fever do not become deaf or have other disabilities that as a result of that illness. But at that time when they had, there was not that medicine.
And some of us that were abused weren't taken to the doctor soon enough. And so couldn't get the medications fast enough.
How old were you when you got scarlet fever?
Well, I was old enough, or young enough, that I don't remember it very clearly. I think maybe about 5. I don't think I had started school yet.
We were a baby. He was just 6 months old.
It happened.
But they had
statistics from United States Annals of the Deaf. The leading cause of deafness was spinal meningitis at that time. That was the number one cause while these people were growing up. In the older times, the scarlet fever was next highest. But now, in the last 20 years, 30 years or so, it hasn't been. Other causes of deafness are infections in the ears, or falls, etc.
I noticed when Darlene was talking to you that you were interpreting in voice, and you were interpreting, I guess, in a different signing language.
Well, yeah.
How many sign languages are there?
There's not really different ones or different forms, I think. But some people use more what people would say maybe pure ASL. And because I'm signing for her, because she needs to see the signs, she speaks and signs more English. And so I'm changing just a little bit and making it just a little more clear on the English side for her, where she's doing more ASL.
What's ASL?
It's American Sign Language, and the structure and the form and everything is just a little bit changed. For example, the most important word comes first, right?
ASL is a language in itself.
So,
it's
not
English.
It doesn't
follow English grammatical structures. All those other things that make it a language are really different. We don't use a lot of to-be verbs, like is, are, was, were. We also don't distinguish male and female in our language, in sign language.
In the pronouns.
We identify people by name or by sign. And what are some of the other things that are different?
It's a visual language.
It's a visual language.
I think that, I know that tomorrow night's Vespers, there's going to be a story told, and it will be a really good example of what ASL is about, because you will see the action, you will see almost like a drama what it's about. And so like Jan says, you really cannot compare it to English, just as like you can't really compare French and German. They're just two totally different languages, and to say, well, this one has and this one doesn't have, it's hard to compare that way. It's a totally different language structure.
Let me ask one more question. Mrs. Ludwig grew up in Estonia and Germany.
Estonia.
Did she speak the same language as Pastor Ludwig?
She still speaks Estonian.
I speak Estonian.
And she reads
Estonian
sometimes.
Language. I learned that language, but I didn't learn sign language. I learned only speech. And when we were in school, I graduated, and during summer vacation, we met the older people, we learned sign language. When I came back to school, the school didn't want me to use signs. And it was different, so I had to learn speech. Because I learned a lot more speech and very little signs. So living in Germany, I learned German sign language for 4 years, and their language was different. And their signs are different also. And so I didn't understand German sign language, so I wrote. And I learned some signs, and I came to America, I learned by writing, not by signing. Because it was harder. And then we went to school, and then we got lessons. And I learned speech there, and learned to talk more. But speech has helped me, and writing in English has helped me to improve. And then he's been teaching me a lot.
Okay,
it's hard, isn't it?
She's still. It's an Estonian. She still has a sister in Estonia and also in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they write back and forth, and she doesn't use her English then. So she uses her Estonian language, is very skilled in it. And when we traveled around in Europe 4 years ago, I had to depend on her for German language because she remembered better than me. So she does read and write German.
And now they do teach the children sign language in school because, like when I went to college, I had to take 2 years of remedial English just to learn English grammar and learn punctuation because I didn't understand what to do in order to make people understand what I was writing.
Other comments, questions? Yeah, Barry.
I was just thinking of Elsie's question last night that some of us were gathered last night talking a little bit about this forum and talking about having this be a two-way conversation. And one of the questions that she had raised, which I think would be good to throw out, is to ask hearing people, maybe I should ask her to even ask the question, maybe I should be telling the question that she asked last night about.
Did I question you about something? I can't remember.
The question, Elsa, that you raised was would you be interested in hearing from hearing people about how they feel when engaging deaf people and how what that experience is like.
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah, that's a good one. You want me to ask that?
Yeah.
I would like to know how the hearing people feel around, you know, through writing or, you know, that's a become form of communication, that's pretty easy communication with hearing people. And I feel real fine about that. How do you folks feel?
She's brave.
I grew up and I'm real happy and comfortable with that.
We have a brave hearing person.
And brave, I think it's really wonderful.
These go along with some of the comments I wanted to make before. And forgive me, but sometimes I get emotional for no reason whatsoever. This has been a very good experience for me, being here with everybody. We've been talking about the hearing disabled and how they feel they are perceived by the hearing people. And so after discussions along those lines, I started thinking about myself and how I perceive the hearing disabled people that I associate with very little or in the past very little. And what I came up with is this. My feelings when I'm around hearing disabled are that due to your culture or your method of communication, I feel like there is a group or a club or some type of association of which I am not a member. Not that I feel like I would be unwelcome, it's just that I'm on the outside and not on the inside. And one thing I feel that this interaction has helped with is it has allowed me to be less afraid of taking the chance of stepping into that circle or culture. And so I feel what I will take back with me back home is a greater willingness to try to communicate not only with hearing disabled, but anybody that is different from me, because that's no reason not to try to communicate. So.
Let's have some more reactions to that question.
You almost depend on expressions.
Okay, Anne's asking Keiko to stand and tell about herself a little bit. She has a very interesting story.
If Keiko wants.
Keiko?
I want you to talk.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear her sing.
I want you to tell about your experience growing up and how it's different. Just your experience.
I hear you. I can't. Like what you told us today.
I have Japanese parents, and when I was a child, I didn't know they are different than other people because they are female and male, and so I didn't know they can't hear. Or I know they can hear, but I didn't know they are different. And one time, my friend asked me, "Are your parents different?" And I realized they are different than people. Then when I heard that sentence, it started being too afraid of my parents. I mean, I can see the people's eyes, like when I get in the train, people look at me, and like they say strange and funny. And at that time, Japanese people didn't like handicapped people, especially deaf people, because if you see deaf people, you can't tell. It's like, you know, hearing person. So, and if like they hit and or something and they said, I'm sorry, but deaf people can't hear, so they just go and it's strange man or something like that. And when people use sign language, they said, it's like monkey. And I thought, and just, I am the only person who can hear that conversation. It was really hard for me. And like in Japan, you have to use the like train and bus. So every time I go with them, like my mom and dad likes friends, so they have like 20 people and they are just using. And I always, you know, like can hear, and but I couldn't tell my parents because I was like, it's gonna hurt them. And when I was junior high school, I couldn't stand anymore. I mean, people are just saying like that way, and every day I hear, your parents deaf me, and I thought, oh no. And I think many people understand, if you see the video, it was same, I felt same thing. I don't know, I couldn't beat them because people look at me. And I don't know how to explain, but I couldn't stand it. So I stopped to talk with my parents because I didn't want to use sign language anymore. So I stopped, and after that, I didn't want to use sign language anymore. So about 3 years, I didn't talk with them. And because like, if they have a breakfast, they just look like that, and I can stand and eat, and I didn't talk. Then when I was in high school, I want to love them. I mean, in deep my heart, I love them. But I can't love them because they are deaf and because they are using sign language. And I don't know, I think it's a culture too, because they look down these people. And also, they look down me too because I use sign language. And but I feel like half of them, I feel like deaf. I really understand how they feel. And about half, I'm healing and I can talk. And it makes me really, really strange. I don't know how to explain in English. But so then when I was in high school, I was my mom and dad asked me to go to alone. One day, I'm only child, and one Sunday, I realized my parents go to every Sunday, every same time, go to somewhere. And I'm only child, but I was alone in the house. So I asked my parents, where are you going? Every Sunday, where are you going? And I couldn't talk anymore because I tried to forget sign language. And I didn't talk, so I wrote down the paper and went to church. No, man, you can't hear, you can't talk. And we said, well, it's a different church. And I was really interested in the church. So next Sunday I went, but I didn't understand anything. I forget. And one thing hit my heart was Jesus. And all, first I was using that one all the time. So I asked my parents, what's that? It's same as English. It was Jesus. But that my dad didn't tell me because I couldn't understand what Jesus means. So just he was saying, it's Jesus. And it's Jesus. Okay. And he showed me the picture and Jesus died on the cross. But I didn't know he died for my sin. And then about 1 year, I didn't go to church. And when I was 12th grade, I went to, my mom asked me, do you want to go to Easter? And I said, do they have a cake? So I went to the church and I saw the movie. It was, the title was Yoneko. Her mom died and she always depended on her mother, so she was so sad and she tried to have a joy in the world, but she couldn't find. And she commit suicide, but she couldn't die. She lost two legs and one arm, and she had just three fingers. But then she became Christian. She changed at all. I mean, she was enjoying, even though she doesn't have two feet. And I thought, wow, I mean, Jesus Christ is really great person. That's what I thought. I mean, I didn't think he's God. I mean, I couldn't think that way, but I thought, wow. And I thought, oh, I want to be like that. I want to always joy, even though I didn't have something, but I want to be joyful. And then I became Christian. Then after that, I pray God. I know dead people and healing people is equal in front of you. So show me. Because people are saying it's different. And even though when I become Christian, people are coming to go to healing church because deaf people doesn't have enough education. And I thought, no, it shouldn't be. In front of God, it should be equal. And I was praying, and he answered me after 4 months. I went to one camp. It was summer camp, and it was first time for me to see hearing person was Christian. Always I was with deaf people, and I didn't know how to sing. And when I heard the song, I cried. I mean, I didn't know. I know sign language, but I was crying. And when I heard the pastor's preaching, it was same, you know, the same Bible and same word of God, and I was crying. That's right, you know, in front of you, it's the same. And I thought, wow, and at night I couldn't sleep because word of God is same, even American and Japanese, or deaf, same. And I thought, wow, it's incredible. And at night I couldn't sleep, and I should. Light up was 10 o'clock, but I couldn't sleep. So I picked up my flashlight and I read the Bible. And I read John chapter 9 in 1, 2, 3. And yesterday he told us that. And it was a blind man, and Jesus told disciples, asked Jesus, because he, why he's blind? Is he seen or he's parents sin, and Jesus said it's not his sin or his parents sin, but he works of God displayed.
He works of God to be displayed.
Yeah, that's right. So, and I was crying because I don't know my parents sin or something, but because of that they become dead, but it's not, you know. Think about how they raise a child, and it's really hard on them, us. They can't hear. And my mom shared me many times, wake up for me to see, you know, I'm crying or not. And I thought, wow. And she taught me how to speak. She tried to move the mouth, and now I can speak. And, you know, they have to nervous always because the car is coming, but they can't hear, so they have to always, you know, be, I don't know, always be alert. And I don't know, it was great, and also I shared yesterday, but from that we can thank God, we can hear, and we can speak. If we have something like that, the person, we feel like, of course we can speak, of course we can hear, but through those people we can thank God, and also we can have love those people too. So I really thank God. God changed my life 180 degrees, and now I really love deaf people, and that day he changed my life, and I'm willing to walk to people right now, so I pray the Lord.
Thank you. You know, thank you very much for that.